Blog Talk Radio.
The True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah. Live Yahweh's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Thursday of the Feast of Dedication. I'll be your host by name, your Seer Israel of Seed Royal. We're dealing with the Feast of Dedication, which will go 8 days. And remember, all broadcasts on feast days comes on at 7:30. Although class have been going on since the sun have set with the young lion. So we prepared now to come on the airways at 7:30 for the national audience to understand where we at in these days. So what we're going to do, we're going to go find our elder and bring our elder in. And our elder, Mr. Tibbs, will tell you all about the broadcast and how you get in contact and what role you can play to advance this ministry. Remember one thing, land, school, banquet hall, very important for us to go for ourselves. So if you're part of that, Elder will tell you all about it as we look for our Elder, Mr. Tibbs, and bring him in. But one thing about it, Steve Ray, it's all about one thing, getting in order for the Almighty Yahweh, the four-letter man, YHWH, to give us the double. He already called it. Once you in order, you got a double coming. So we meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, third day of the Feast of Dedication is now in session. Yahweh be with you, Seer Royal.
And Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, Seer Royal. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
All right, there, our elder. Well, it's the third day of the Feast of Dedication. And one thing about it, that on the left, on the right side, the international side, over 700,000 strong is ready to hear it. So we ready to hear it. Some dust says the Almighty four-letter man, Yahweh. So whatever the Almighty will put on you to tell them on the third day of the Feast of Dedication, you on the clock, come out.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. Among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to listen to the righteous words of Yahweh. And that is on the third day of the Feast of Dedication. But for some of those listeners out there, it's the day after Christmas, which we went over yesterday. To inform everybody what they should have already known. But unfortunately, there's a lot of more information that has to be learned. Because we did say that after a kid has an imagination, he should be trained up. He should go when he is old, so he will not depart from it. That was in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Now, what do you do about the parents? The parents have already grown up. They've become a little used to custom and tradition. So the only way to reach out to the parents, we have to do what is called in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 12, verse number 7. 7 says, "Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Yahweh of all the righteous acts of the Yahweh which he did to you and your fathers." And that's what has to be done. You have to rehearse the righteous acts to find those that are receptive toward Yahweh's teaching. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of the bad teaching, loud buffet gums, and Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's Ministry. It comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahweh's learning how to connect the Bible books. Your health, foods you should eat, and keeping those 7 days. We do all this because you have not. And this is the information that you came to seek and have found that now in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yahdah. We're open unto you on regular days from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. From Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. No class on Tuesday. But however, we do have a Sabbath Sunday. And the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. The time of that class is 7:30 to 10:30. And on all feast days to follow, that is the current time for them also. All feast days start at 7:30 to 10:30. Now, the bottom part of the Sabbath class, right, the bottom part, is Saturday. That has a temple class at 12 p.m. and an online class from 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We even have a website. To use that, type Tribe Yahdah on any search bar. And after you click enter, look for the big lion. After you see the big lion, under that lion, you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. In the other device, you may see menu. But after clicking this, you'll still see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings and doing so. But it tells all of us to read the book of Psalms, chapter 96, 7, verse 8. Verse 7 says, "Give unto the Yahweh, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength." 8. "Give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." Now, when doing this, I always remind everyone to remember that Yahweh loves the cheerful giver. And also, the donation that's given to this ministry is greatly appreciated. That you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30, and mentioned once again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing the thus says Yahweh alive. Also for building a school, which we can mention and teach about those things that we often speak about. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to build a health foods we continue to speak of. Spoken. Also while there, check our calendar. It will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to your family and friends, including myself, throughout the year. We even have a live program. This is a feature that's only available during the live broadcast time. To get there, just enter 3 words, Yahweh Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. And click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into a live on my broadcast. We also use 2 email addresses. The first is tribeyahdah@gmail.com. The other is yahdahisrael@gmail.com. These are for writing your written opinions and questions that flip the subject onto your related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with your offline line. The first is our live conference room, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is the international number you can call and leave those messages that you may have scriptures on, questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 6 months accounts of that was mentioned. But in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, you'll only hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Also, you can also call and get the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure you can get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive a call. And another note we might ask, please do not contact the seer. Email, phone, or text, or broadcast or app. She is usually pretty busy with the WCC, the station stockholder, Mr. Sigon, and answers many memos that most of us have seen in the past. And even now, in addition to that, Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. That's it. You'll only hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program today, catch the entire show after 10:30 p.m. Just to do that, enter three words, Yahweh Radio Live. And when you click on it, click for Voices of the Israelites. Just find the program that you're late logging into, looking down the list, choose any particular day that you would like to listen. For your information, we are now doing our normal broadcast broadcast, also simultaneously transmitting on broadcast. Being listed under ethnic group, African American. Just look for Voices of the Israelites. You'll find our room will hold 50 or more participants. This is where Yahweh's Word will also be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any on the table topics we discussed during our broadcast will be Kids along with Senior Israel writing the show. And during this time, we'll take no comments off topic, any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find the Blog Talk ends before teaching time. We will continue our teaching on Blog Talk. I'll be with you all. But one note to remember, when we are given those scriptures to speak by the Seer, remember to be quick to hear, slow to speak. So the words of Yahweh flow smoothly. As I said before, remember we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that want to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And so we can start to do that, we will pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahweh.
All right, Hallelujah, Yahweh. One thing about this third day of the feast called dedication. It's the third day of the feast, and this feast got the whole yesterday cake. It's 8 days, and we live also on Facebook. Is that right there, young line? So on Facebook, we also live on Facebook, and we was live on Twitter at the same time. But NMO broadcast, we need this message to get to those that have all the ways to help in this ministry, because this message got to get out into four corners of the world. Now, why so? Help me out here. Let me show you why this message got to get off into everywhere. Elder, if you don't mind, can you just give me a verse before we get started in Matthew 24:13-14? Can you help those see out in Matthew 24:13-14. See, we gotta come together as one. And once we come together as one and start fulfilling these scriptures that's written in the Bible, then the Almighty told us plainly in Isaiah 61:7-8, I'm gonna drop a double on this ministry. But something he wants to be done, of according to Matthew 24, there, Elder, Mr. Jeff, what it say in verse 13 and 14?
Matthew 24, verses 13 and 14. 13 says, But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. 14. And this gospel of covenant of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end will come.
Mm-hmm. So this word preach means teach. So this got to be taught to every nation. Once this word that we speak out of the six anointed camps be taught throughout all the world, because he made it plain, Elder, in 9:16. He made something real plain in Exodus 9:16, and then we're going to see who all going to be on stage when we get something going on. But in Exodus 9:16, he made something real plain to Moses. See, what we teach you now must get off into every nation up under the sun. Then the end going to be. And that's why it's so important about these, keeping these feast days, these Sabbath days, because in it, although we know we're going to eat them up and drink them up, that's a gift. But you must understand that the Son came not only to eat them up and drink them up, he came to teach for you to be aware of what's to come. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to teach first. And after you understand the feast of dedication, take three, and you got it down pat, and go back over it, then the Almighty is going to look at you and say, huh, you catching on to what needs to be done. So it's no accident. Those that come in the room over 7,000 strong on the international side, it's no accident you in this room. Now it's up to you, when he bless you with talent, is to step forward and get in where you fit in. Got it. What it said 9:16, there, young line. I mean, Elder Taylor. What it said Exodus 9:16?
In the book of Exodus, chapter 9, verse 16, it says, and in every deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that I and my name may be declared throughout all the earth.
So, according to 9:16, what do he want, young lion, Bubba Titus? What do he want according to 9:16? What do he want?
That Yahweh's name may be declared throughout all the earth.
So he want his name. That's very important.
No,
he want his name out to all the earth for a witness. He want his name. His name, we were talking to Moses, with the four letters, YHWH. He want his name throughout all the earth. Keep that in your mind. So once this covenant is taught, and you understand his name and his program, then the end going to be. Then it's time to start getting to the wilderness and head to the kingdom. But you're not going anywhere unless you understand the name and his program. And that's the reason he came on his dedication, not only to just eat them up and drink them up, but he came to give a message. And that's what we're doing right now in take three. All right, Elder, that was Ben on your side. We'll see who's going to be on stage. Who's going to be on stage for tonight. And Mother E. Israel. One of the mothers out of Camp 1. And all the mothers stand tall and some dust says Yahweh. They're about this business and dust says Yahweh. And we're going to see it out of our own eyes. So Mother E. Israel, tribe of Yahweh, Judah.
Yahweh bless you, Israel. Israel, I see you, Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right. So we see what we got to do. So young lions is ready to go. They're ready to roar, too. So we got to give them something to roar, too. So young lions, Bubba McKay, Yahweh bless you, Israel.
Yahweh bless you, there. There is well. Oh, T. Roy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Titus Israel, Travel Yahweh Judah. Yahweh be to that sea right.
Yahweh bless you there. See Israel of sea Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, so we ready to take care of Yahweh's business. So I don't see why we can't Brother Micaiah run to the book. Matter of fact, young Ryan, Brother Patty, give me that Matthew chapter 10, 18 through 20. And Brother Micaiah, give me that Luke chapter 10, 10 through 12. Let's go back to back and let's see what we can get going on. Matthew chapter 10, 18 down to verse 20 with the precept of Luke chapter 12, 10 down to verse 12. Case number 3 of the dedication. You on the clock, come up.
The book of Matthew chapter 10, verses 18 down to 20. Matthew chapter 10, verse 18. You should be brought before governor, a king, for my sake, for it comes in against them, and the Gentiles of the nation. Verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you should speak, for it should be given you in that same hour what you should speak. Verse 20. But it's not you that speak it, but the Spirit of your Father, which speak it in you.
See, it's not you that speak it. See, we can't be by ourselves. We got to be the Spirit that's in us that's speaking. That's when you know you're in the right ministry. When you know that whatever on the table is a verse, it's on the table. Then after that, they hear a voice from you. But if you ain't got no verse on the table, then you're not in the will of your mighty one. You must have a verse on the table. Then, because if anybody walk in or come in and say, well, what verse he on? Well, he ain't on no verse. What he doing? Oh, he in his feelings. Oh, well, I'm going to give you some spiritual popcorn to read back then. So they don't work like that. You got to be in this man's word. Put a verse on the table. Then open the mouth after a verse on the table. Case in point. Luke chapter 12, 10 through 12. Brother Micaiah, come on.
Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 10 down to verse number 12. Verse 10 reads, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the righteous spirit, it shall not be forgiven. Verse 11, and when they bring you unto the temple and unto the mastery in power, take you no thought how or what thing you shall ask, or what you shall say. Verse 12. For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
And you got to believe that, because one thing about it, what we are bringing out of these six anointed counts, it goes against all the ones that like to tell a good story. And we put out six nights a week, a three-hour broadcast. But no, the WCC, World Council of Churches, Latter-day Saints, or the Roman Catholic Church cannot dispute one lesson that we put on the table. But now they can backbite. But the key to it is we can look at your lesson and see errors in your lesson. We put a lesson on the table 6 nights a week, 3 hours, and there's been no lesson that's been put on the table that no ministry can combat against it. Scripture-wise. Now, you can backbite. Oh, yeah, they can backbite. But for a while, go in the Bible and prove that we're wrong, they cannot do it. We on the right track. All we got to do now is keep moving forward in the Almighty by understanding his rules and regulations. And that's why the Son came for that dedication on December 25th. He came for the loaves. He came for the talk about whooping Esau and his five sons. But he also came to give a message. And that's why that feast is so important. It's 8 days, but a message is in that, and we're going to go through his whole message between the third case all the way to 8. We'll give you all the details. And remember what the elder did say. If anybody want a tape, all you got to do is call the international line and get in contact with the elder, and he'll put 12 programs together for you. And you have something to give your loved ones. You'll put 12 programs together on a DVD. and that would help the ministry also. But you got 12 programs, and see would anybody be able to dispute anything that's said in them programs. So it's up to you. That's the way you can help. So on the international side, those on the left side, how you can help? Support this ministry by getting a tape and send it to your loved one. That's the one to give you trouble about, I don't believe nothing that you're telling me, but you can't go in the book and show no difference. That's the key. If he wrong, show us where he wrong at with the book open. Now watch it. You hear crickets. Because see, this is the spirit that we have to, it was a message left on the answer machine. And so we took it off and put it on. We want to hear this message that was left. See, and this is the spirit that we have, and that's why I said we got a big job to do. Listen at this message that we have on the answer machine. We want to play it to you. Listen to this.
Backyard right here, and here's the shovel. If you're going to hit it one licking and say, I can't find it,
I bet you'd be out there all night long looking for it, right? You dig a hole so deep that you mess around and be, where you at? I'm way down here still looking. And that's how you got to do his word. You got to burn some midnight oil for his word. So you got to keep that in your mind. Just, you know, you got to burn a little midnight oil for this word. You got to go over these lessons, and then the Almighty will give you the increase. So in the book of 2 Maccabees, 2 Ezra, thank you, Brother Micaiah, thank you. And we're going to open up right there just to prove a point that although I was helped and with no problem, I mean, we understood that I was helped, and that's true. But we're going to see what the Bible says about that after I find me from 2 Ezra. And I want to pick it around by verse 28. So you young lions can help those figure out. I want to pick it around by 2 and 2 Ezra 2:28. Read down. Is that what I want? I want it in 2 Ezra chapter 2. Let's see, that's what I want. We want to open up right there because it's a point that because although I got helped, and that was great, but in the same token, the Bible come back and tell me some things that I need to know. And 2 Ezra chapter, yeah, pick it up at verse number 28. Yeah, 2:28 down to 36 there, Brother Titus. Let's see what he said in 2 Ezra 2. But listen to this real good. Now, I don't like, they're like, the young lady says, she said, I love me some white folks because white folks helped me when I was down. When I got sick, they came to help me. They fed me, gave my baby something. So if I got to be a nigga, I'll be a nigga, and my kid's going to be a nigga all the days of our life. Now, I understand what she's saying, but that's why the Bible will come in, and the Bible will straighten you out if you understand. You always going to have good. Every nation going to do something for you. Look at it like that. But watch what he said that we can read in 2 Ezra 2:28-36. What did it say there, Brother Titus? You on the clock, come on.
The book of 2 Ezra the seer, chapter 2, verse 28-36. 2 Ezra the seer, chapter 2, verse 28. But the heathen nation should envy you, but they should be able to do nothing against you. Said Yahuwah. Verse 29. My hand shall cover you so that your children should not see hell. Verse 30. Be joyful, O you mother, with your children, for I will deliver you, said Yahuwah. Verse 31. Remember your children, for I shall bring them out of the sides of the earth and show mercy unto them, for I am merciful, said Yahuwah Almighty. Verse 32, embrace your children until I come and show mercy unto them, for my wells run over and my mercy shall not fail. Verse 33, I, Ezra, the seer, receive a charge of Yahuwah about Mount Horeb that I should go unto Israel. But when I came unto them, they set me as nothing and espied the Torah instruction of the first five books. The law of Yahuwah, verse 34. And therefore I said to you, O you heathen, the nation that hear not a stand, look for your shepherd. He should give you everlasting rest.
Well, I mean, I'm hearing everything you're saying, but I mean, I can continue with that, but I'm not hearing what I want to hear. I mean, not that I'm hearing what I want to hear, but you sure you in second Ezra, I'm looking for another statement to come out of here, and I should have been hearing some about it by now. Let me peep in this book real carefully, because I want to make sure that we on the same. Although I can take that and run with it, but it's something that I'm missing that I need to hear right away. I need to hear what he says again. I'm gonna look right at it again. Now, you sure you in 2 Ezra 2? You sure you in 2 Ezra 2? Mm-hmm. All right, skip down to verse number, I tell you what, skip down. You might skip down to verse number 37 then. No, I tell you what. You know, you ain't on the right track. I'm just gonna got, maybe I don't got too happy. Where you at, verse what?
I'm at verse
34. Okay, good. Okay, I tell you what. Skip down to verse 42. Oh, wait a minute. No. In the third chapter. Oh, that's what I want. The third. Thank you, Brother Micaiah. Your third chapter. I know. Okay, go to the third chapter and pick up verse 20. The third chapter, not the second chapter. Thank you, there, young lion. Matter of fact, Maurice and Miles here. You want to be in the third chapter. That's right. The third chapter. Verse number 28. And the reason why we saying this, give me a precept on that. Look what it says in 14:14, Brother Titus, I mean Micaiah. What it says in 14:14 that we can read out of the book of Acts.
Okay.
14:14 and 15.
We're going over to the book of Acts. We'll pick it up at chapter 14, verse number 14, and verse number 15.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Acts, chapter 14, verse number 14, read, which when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard, they break their cloth and ran in among the people, crying out, 15, and saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you.
15.
Acts chapter 15, verse 15. 15 read. And to this agree, the words of the seer, and it is written.
You see that? So when you agree with the seer, don't agree with him because he said something. Make sure you're looking at what's going on. You agree with him for what reason?
As it is written.
So if I don't have the proper thing on the table, say, hey, wait a minute. That was the mother just said, hey, sir, you in the wrong verse. See? So when you get corrected, take the correction and move on. So if I just say anything, no, don't go with anything. Go with what the Bible says. So we found out right now, you agree with the seer, but what kind of way?
As it is written.
So now we go on to the third chapter, verse 28. Thank you, that Mother Z. 2 Ezra chapter 3, verse 28 down to verse 36. Now, this going back to where I was talking about based upon once upon a time ago, I had a flat tire. And the other nation, the white man and the white woman helped me. Get to the gas station, got my tire fixed, take me back down there, put it on. I said, how much I owe you? See, you don't owe me nothing. We just feel like doing a good deed. See? Now, I could have taken that the same way this young lady just said about the white folks. When I got sick, they came over and helped me. They helped my children. They helped me. And so I love me some white folks. And I'm going to be a nigger than them, and my kids better be a nigger than them, too. You see? So I could have took it that way too, but then all of a sudden he'll take you back to the Bible, and then the Bible is right. So let's see what the Bible say, not our feelings. What do the Bible say in the third chapter, verse 28 to 36? Now come on.
Second Ezra the seer, chapter 3, verse 28 to 36. Second Ezra chapter 3, verse 28. Are there indeed then any better than the inhabitants of Babylon,
mm-hmm.
that they should therefore have the dominion over Yad-Dah-Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 29, but when I came thither, I had seen impiety without number. Then my soul, my love sought many evildoers in this 30th year, so that I and my mind failed me. Verse 30, for I have seen how you suffered them. Spared wicked doers, and has destroyed your people, and has preserved your enemy, and has not signified it. Verse 31, I do not remember how this way may be left. Are they then of Babylon better than they of Judah? Verse 32, for is there any other people that know you besides Israel? Or verse 33. But yet their reward appeared not, and their labor had no fruit. For I have gone here and there through the heathen, the other 17 nations, and I see that they flow and wept, and think not upon your Torah instruction of the first five books, your law. 34. Wake you therefore, our wickedness, now in the valley, and just also that dwell in the world. And so shall your name nowhere be found but in Israel. Verse 35. And when was it that they which dwell upon the earth have not sinned in your sight? Or what people have so kept your Torah instruction of the first five books, your law? You supplied that Israel by name had kept your precepts, but not to the other 17 nations.
You see that? So now I could have taken it the same way and understand that, you know, I was treated real good. That was true. And I acknowledge that. But it still don't evade the record. The record tells us exactly what to do and how to do it. So that's why we got to stick to the record. I mean, you know, that's why you got to make sure your feelings and your emotion is not in the way of making decisions, but make only decisions according to what's written in the Bible. Make a decision on what you can read. Don't make a decision because your feelings in a way. This little one is just so great to me. We've been in many battles, but always make a Bible decision. Now, Brother Titus, in Isaiah 54, verse 17, you have to stay out to see what it says. 54, 17.
We're going to the book Isaiah to see it. We're going to Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 17, read.
Mm-hmm.
No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of your servants of Yahweh, and their righteousness is of me, said Yahweh.
He said, if no weapon formed against you going to prosper, they can have anything they want, a propaganda or whatever it is. If no weapon formed against you going to prosper, and this is the inheritance of the righteous. Now he made a statement that, but this is the inheritance of the righteous. So now you need to find out, well, how can I be on the righteous side? Then you precept your Bible. Back up to Deuteronomy 6:25 there, young lion. And Brother Makai held me Proverbs 16, 1, 2, 3, and 7 waiting on me. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 6:25. Now, no weapons formed against you going to prosper. This is the inheritance of the righteous. But what is the biblical definition of righteous? Let's see what the biblical definition to be upon a disbanner when something is not in your favor. Let's see what the biblical definition is in Deuteronomy 6:25. What it says, Brother Titus?
The fifth book of the Torah instructions, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 25, reads, and it should be our righteousness that we observe to do all these commandments, Torah instructions of the first five books, before Yahweh, our Yahweh, as he has commanded us.
So what your righteousness is, for you to be upon this banner, you got to be keeping the first five books. Then he tells you, Brother Titus, and 1 John 3:22. So now you got to examine yourself to be upon an Isaiah 54:17. This is in the hands of the righteous. The definition of a righteous is keeping the Torah instruction. Then he says in 1 John 3, read verse 3 and 4, then skip down to verse 22. Listen to what he said. 1 John chapter 3. Now take notes. Those on the international side, take notes. Because it's not only a whole lot of us have that same feeling. But you know why we have the same feeling? Because we don't have the Bible instruction. We understand that you will have some that's going to go out their way and help you when nobody else helps you. And don't forget that. That's a great thing. But don't cross out the Bible, what the Bible's saying. Because this man called the end from the beginning. He knows what the end of this thing is. And And that's in Isaiah 46, 9 through 11. So if he called in from the beginning, you're going to get help from anybody. Accept the help, but don't forget about what the Bible is saying. That's the game changer right there. So in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, 4, and 22, young lion, Brother Titus, come up.
Book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, and verse 22. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 reads, and every man that has his hope in him, purify himself, even as he is pure. Verse 4, whosoever commits sin, transgress also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. Verse 22 reads, and whatsoever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his Torah instruction. First five books, to do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
So what pleases him when you're keeping the first five books? That what pleases him. His word is going to stand. So you got to examine yourself. Is you pleasing him? Well, how do I please him? You keep the first five books. Huh? So that's the message he came to bring on that third day of the feast. He said, if you want to be pleased and in the right situation, it starts by you keeping the first five books. And most of those of the Roman Catholic Church, where the Latter-day Saints, they might have, Latter-day, some of them have to keep the Sabbath day, but some they don't do. They don't put the right name out. So they got pros and cons and any of that. But the point we're saying, if you want to be on the right side of the Bible, then do what the Bible says. What kind of way as is written. Now, you got the blessing of the Almighty over your head. See, you want to make sure. Now listen to this. Now, Solomon is the wisest man in the world. Now, after, in 2 Chronicles, we're not going to read 2 Chronicles 1, 7 through 12. He is the wisest man in the world. The Almighty gave him this wisdom to write. Listen to what he says in Proverbs 16, 1, 2, 3, and verse 7. Listen good. Once Solomon received a blessing of the Almighty, Brother Micaiah, what did he say in the 16th chapter, 1, 2, 3, and verse 7?
Book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 1, 2, and 3,
mm-hmm.
and verse number 7. The Book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 1 reads, The preparation of the mind in man, and the answer of the tongue is from Yahweh. Verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Yahweh ways is spirit. Verse 3. Commit your righteousness to Yahweh, and your thoughts shall be established. Verse 7. When a man's way pleases the Yahweh, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him.
Yeah. He'll make his enemies, when you please your mighty one, he have the enemy sitting there ready to make a decision, and he'll make it in your favor. See, and he knows it's not to be so. But the Almighty is the one controls the whole universe. So the first thing you got to do is make sure you please him. And when you please him, just like when I, once a long time ago, had a blowed out tie that needed, you know, air went out or whatever. I needed a patch on it. But in the same token, I was stranded, right? I was helped. And I appreciate it. But I can't overlook what the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 7. And the young lady on the answer machine, they sent that message to me showing you that she said, well, look here. Did nobody help me but the white folks. And they helped me when I couldn't help myself. And I'm going to be a nigger with them all the way, and my kids better be a nigger too. See? But see, that only shown that.
Stockholm.
Well, Stockholm syndrome. For the same token, that's why we have to be able to meet them where they're at and show them what the Bible say if you believe the Bible.
That's
you got to ask the question, do you believe the Bible? Yes, I believe the Bible. Okay, let's hear the Bible say. That's it. Read verse 7 again.
Book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse number 7 reads, When a man's ways please the Yahuwah, he makes even his enemy to be at peace with him.
You see that? So he one will put the same one to make a decision for you, and he'll rule in your favor. That's if you got him right. The first thing you got to do, don't compromise your mighty one. Because he the one will try you on whatever you love the most and see what you do. Now, once he try you and you step, and you make a decision according to his word, then he'll step in. But if you get shaky any type of way, attack him from another way, then he will turn his back on you. But always make a decision according to the Bible. Proverbs 21, verse 1 and 2, what it say?
Going over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 21. We want to read verse 1 and verse number 2.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 1 reads, the king's mind is in the hand of the Yahuwah, as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Yahuwah ponders the mind.
Is that it? So he turns the king, so whatever king, a king can be already hell-bent to deliver you up. But if it's not in the Almighty, he'll turn it. The king, that same king, was hell-bent to always cut you short. Yahuwah can make him rule in your favor. And you give all credit to your mighty one, because they'll go back on and say, you know what I just did? I just done some things that ain't no way I would have done that. But I don't know what got in me. That same thing happened when I had that that flat tire. Same thing. Who pulled over? Esau pulled over. He said, can we help you? I said, yeah, I'm standing out here. And yeah, I see. Well, let's help you get the tire off and let's get to the see if we get you together. Oh, I appreciate that help. I wasn't looking at nothing but the help. Mm-hmm. Help me put it back together. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I said, how much I owe you? You don't owe me nothing. We feel like doing a good deed and we undone it. And so now after the, you know, from that point on, I understand. Yeah. So we got to understand something. The Bible is right. Everybody got points where other people to help you to the best, Okay, that's good. But never ignore the Bible.
That's right.
That's all we say. Now, you take it in where you want. You want, just don't ignore the Bible.
That's right.
So Mother E, tribe of Yadav Judah out of Camp 1, one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Now, Mother, look what it says in the book of Exodus 23, verse 24 and 25. Can you go see out Mother E, Israel, tribe of Yadav Judah? What it says in Exodus 23, verse 24 and 25. What it say?
The book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 24 and verse 25. Verse 24. Thus shall not bow down to their Yahuwah, nor serve them, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them in Christ. Break down now him. Verse 25. And ye shall serve the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee.
Mm-hmm. Now what did you say? He said, because you get a good deal of good deeds done by the other nations, don't forget what I just said. He said, listen, understand one thing. I'm in the blessing business. I'm in the one that makes people's mind turn the right direction. He said, I'm the one who will let a sickness be on you, and I can take it away from you. I got that power. That's what he said. So never overlook what I got written in this book. I don't care who helped you, because it be my hand that puts the spirit on them to help you. But don't all of a sudden now forget what I got written in this book. Because he makes it plain, Brother Titus needs to get a precept, 45, verse 6 through 8, in Isaiah. See, you got to understand something about what he's saying. Now, we're going to precept that by Brother Titus in the 45th chapter, verse 68. Listen good what he says to Isaiah the seer. See, I can get bubbly eyes when a great decision is made. But in the same token, the Bible would tell me I'm the one made them make that great decision. In Isaiah 45:68, listen good as we coming from the Feast of Dedication, the third day. Listen to what's written in the Bible and take notes. Because one thing about it, kick your feelings out the way and make a Bible decision. Isaiah 45:68.
The book of Isaiah is here. Chapter 45, verse 6 to 8. Isaiah the seer, chapter 45, verse 6 reads, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. Verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things. Verse 8, drop down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, Yahweh, have created it.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 7 again. Take your time. Just give me a little bass. Give me a little bass in verse 7. Listen at verse 7 real carefully. See, that's why you got to always run back to your... You know, I hear a lot of good statements on people's everywhere, but he brought me back to that Bible to make sure it lines up with this book. I hear a lot of good conversations. I remember this, and I remember that. Yeah, I understand that too. But the Bible is right. Is that right? Yes, the Bible right. Okay, good. What does it say in verse 7?
Isaiah 45, verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace. They create evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things.
So he said, give me all the credit. If you got evil in your house, who did it?
Yahweh.
If you got peace in your house, who did it?
Yahweh.
I, Yahweh, do what?
All these
things. So always give your credit to your mighty one. You got peace? Oh, it's so peaceful out there. Then you get almighty credit for it.
If
you got hell raining down like cold weather, then you give him a credit for that too. Give him all the credit. Now, the seer pulled that verse, Brother Micaiah. He pulled that in the 32nd chapter. We're going back to see where he pulled that verse. Remember, the seers of the Bible must pull verses. And them folks will never tell you where they're going and what they think and what they on. It's all about pulling verses and connecting this book. So when he said that in 700 B.C., pull that verse from 32, pick it at 35, and we'll read down until we get our point. Now listen, if he pulled that verse from the first five books, and when you're in a ministry, the one that's standing before you, whatever you read, you're supposed to say, that sounds pretty good there, my loved one. But give me a precept to that. And they'll look at you like you'll pull a pistol on them when you tell them, give me a precept on what you just saying. Huh? See that? And that would they'll set them down. Yeah, that sounds pretty good, but give me a precept on what you just got through saying. They're not going to be able to do it. And that's when you know it's time now to move forward in this mighty one. Because if you want your blessing, and you want those that come behind you to get a blessing, you got to return back to this man the way he got it written. Now, what he got written, that's what the son came to do on the Feast of Dedication for 8 days. Sure, they ate him up. Sure, they drunk him up. But guess what they did? He made sure they understood the words that going to befall them in the latter days. And we trying to tell you the same thing. You have many going to do good for you, make good decisions for you. But never forget that's the hand of the Almighty. Case in point, he pulled that verse. 32, pick up at 35, bring it on down. Come on.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, pick it up at verse 35 reads, to me belong vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. And the things that shall come upon them make haste. Verse 36. For the Yahweh shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left.
And let me comment on that. So he'll watch you. He'll watch you at your highest point and see what you make up, what you make a difference. He'll watch you and see who you give credit to, your what you have, the work. He'll watch you. He'll watch you and see what you give him all the praises for what you have received. Because a lot of people get in a high position, but they forget about their mighty one. He said, I'm going to watch you. Now, once your power have came to nothing, then I'm going to check you out. See, never let nothing in the world make you make a decision and that the Bible do not support it. If he tell you plainly, Brother Titus, in Judges chapter 2, 1 and 2, if he tell you something plainly, the angel came from heaven to tell Joshua something. Let's see what he told Joshua when he came from heaven. He received from the Son and the Father. In the second chapter, verse 1 and 2. Listen to this, Judges chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Brother Titus, bring it.
The book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. The book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 1. And the ministering spirit of Yahweh came up from Gilgal to Boshim and said, I made you to go up of Egypt, Mizraim, and brought you in the land which I swear to your father. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Verse 2, and you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their oaths, which you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this?
So you see what he's saying? He said you make no league with them. What do you mean by that? It's not that you don't work. Yeah, not that you don't work. But once your job is over, you don't get yourself caught up in no cat talking when your job is over. You might have a partner that's of another nation. You might work with them with machines with a person of another nation. That's fine. Do your job, treat everybody right. But when the job is over, make no league. No, we're not going out to have no drinking. We sit down and eat and drop our gods because we know I've been told, according to this book, not to do so.
That's right.
So yeah, I'm not going to let that happen to me and I can read not to do so. But I'm going to treat you fine. I'm going to treat you well and want that same respect. But when it comes down to anything outside of our job, I'm going by my business because I'm going to keep the blessing over my head of the mighty one because the angel came down from heaven and gave the children of Israel instructions what to do and not to do. Because the reason why he told you that, look what happened in verse 3. Now watch this. Because if you don't do what he tell you to do, watch what he said in verse 3. Judges 2, verse 3.
The book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 3 reads, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they should be as thorns in your side. And therefore, Yahweh should be a snare unto you.
You see that? You see, it'll be a snare. It'll be a thorn in your side and a snare to you. He said, look at it. You don't pay attention. He said, although they might have done something real good for you or made a great decision for you, that don't mean you ignore what the Bible's saying. Still, don't make no leaves. Still, give them the respect of making the right decision for you. But do what you got to do and keep moving forward for your nation because that's what you was created to do. Make sure you move forward for your nation. So that's the key. So never forget that. Now watch what he's saying. Now, remember, these verses were pulled. So he said, I want to see your power is gone. That's when I'm going to say something to you. Sometimes we have to bump our heads 10, 11 times before you see the picture. Sometimes we got to keep on going back and get our head bumped until you get the picture. And sometimes we just take you on out. Say, you know, you ain't going to do right. He's going to take you all the way out. My word is going to stand. Now watch what you said next. Come on.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, picking up at verse 37. 37 reads. And he shall say, where are their Yahweh, their rock in whom they trusted?
Mm-hmm.
38. Which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection.
You hear the man just say it? He's like, tell you what. He said, you feel that I don't know what I'm talking about. Then now, let them rise up and help you now. Mm-hmm. Let them be your protection. Mm-hmm. You don't want me to be your protection. I don't told you what time it is. So let them protect you from this point on. And that's the spirit that young lady had on that tape. She said, look, white folks have done me so great. And when I was down, they picked me up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a nigger and my kids better be a nigger too. Now, you can't tell her no different. And that's what we got to tell you. We understand these things, but you got to always make a decision according to the Bible. What's the next verse say? Listen to this.
39. See, now that I am he, and there is no Yahweh with me,
right?
I kill. And I make alive. I wound.
I'm the one wound.
And I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand.
You see the man say, he said, I'm the one kill, I'm the one wound, and I'm the one healed.
Mm-hmm.
So you give him all of the glory. If you sick, he made you sick. When you get well, he made you well. He got all that power in his hand. Always give him the credit for everything. Never give no man or woman no credit.
That's right.
That you ignore that the Almighty put them in position to make the right decision for you because you kept what he got written in his book. Never forget that. He said, I'm the one wound. When you wound it, he said, he did it. If you sick, he said, he did it. Huh? And if you get healed, he said, he did it. You give him all the credit. Whatever it is, give it to him. Because he's the author and the finisher of this right here. Give me another verse.
Verse 40. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever.
Right.
41. If I wet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on justice, I will render vengeance to my enemies and will reward them that hate me.
You see that? He said, he's going to put vengeance on the one that they hate him. He said, I'm going to take care of it. All you got to do is make sure you make a decision according to my Bible. What's the next verse say?
All right. 42. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my swords to devour with flesh. And that with the blood of the slain, and of the captive, from the beginning of revenge upon the enemy.
He said, look here. I'm going to take care of the enemies. All you got to do is make sure the decision that you make, that you can read it. Make sure the decision you make, you can read it. Hey, Mother E, now, in that book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, can you go see out in 6 through 10 what it says in Deuteronomy, chapter 7, 6 down to verse 10, Mother E, Israel. One of the mothers out of Camp 1, come on.
Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy chapter
7. I have to get out and do 16, waiting on
you.
Yeah, 6 to 10, come on, mother.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 to 10. Verse 6 reads, for thou art an righteous people unto the Yahweh, your Yahweh. The Yahweh, your Yahweh, has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, a above of all people that are upon the face of the earth. Verse 7. The Yahweh did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the truest of all people. Verse 8. But because the Yahweh loved you, because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your father, that Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the hand of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Verse 9. Know therefore that the Yahweh, your Yahweh, he is Yahweh, the faithful Yahweh, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandment to a thousand generations. Verse 10. And repay them that hate him to their face, to destroy him, he will not be slack to him that hate him, he will repay him to his face.
He said, I'm going to pay you in praise. I'm not going to sneak behind and do nothing. I'm not going to cold cock you going to. No, I ain't hitting you in your back. I'm hitting you in your nose. He said, if you love me, you will do what I tell you to do. He said, I'm going to meet you straight up and tell you you out of order. Come on, young lion. 11 down to verse 16. Come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 11 to 16. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 11. You should therefore teach the Torah instructions, the first five books, and the statutes, and the judgments, which I command you this day, to do them. Verse where? Wherefore, it should come to pass, if you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that Yahweh, your Yahweh, shall keep unto you the covenant and the mercy which is swear unto your father. Verse 13, and he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your corn and your wine and your oil, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep, and the land which he swore unto your fathers to give you. Verse 14, you should be blessed above all people. There should not be male or female buried among you or among your cattle. Verse 15, and Yahweh will take away from you all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Mizraim, the word Egypt, which you know it upon you, but will lay them upon all them that hate you. Verse 16, you should consume all the people which Yahweh should deliver you. Your eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither should you serve their false Yahweh. But that would be a snare unto you.
Is there any time you do anything contrary to what you read out of the Bible, you serving false things, that's going to be a snare to you. So that will be a snare to you. The reason why we're in trouble we're in right now, because we do things that are a snare to us. We do it, and that's why the song came on the third day of the Feast of Dedication, to show you what's going to befall you. Don't let it be a snare to you. Back and read verse 14. Look what he said he do again in verse 14.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 14. You should be blessed above all people. There should not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle.
So he's saying he will bless you and your offspring. If you got him right, he'll get you right. That's what the man's trying to tell you. And his word is going to stand. He's saying that the main thing we got to make sure we're doing is got him right. And Peter made a profound statement, but what I want to know is where did he get that verse from? Now, y'all lying, Brother Titus, Micaiah. Now, Peter's the chief figure for the nation of Israel. Now, look what he said, but what I'm interested in, where did he pull it from? That's what I'm interested in. Now, look what Peter says in 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25. See, the game changer in teaching is when you read something on the right side of the book of Matthew. Don't you know it's already been said in advance on the left side? Because when you send a message, they tell you, well, that's been done away with. How has it been done away with? Why Peter quoted the left side of the book, although you reading it on the right side of the book, but he quoting the left side of the book. Now, here go a case in point. In 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25. Now, this is a chief speaker for the nation of Israel. He got something to say. Listen what he says, but I want to know one thing. Where did he pull it from? See, that's what I want. That sounds pretty good, but where did he pull that verse from? See, it's all about pulling verses. If you sit in a ministry and they're not pulling no verses, they're telling you about how we once was and how it used to be. No, it don't work like that. Precept that to get an understanding. Let's see in 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25 what it says.
Book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 24 and 25.
Listen to this.
Verse 24 reads, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
So by his stripes you was made healed. By his stripes. Once he removed the killing of the animals that's in Hebrews 10 away from you, that's the law done away with. He came to sacrifice himself to remove the animal sacrificial law from you. But your preacher says he can't remove the law. Yeah, but Mr. Preacher, what law? The law of killing the animals. He came to sacrifice himself, but you won't be up under the killing animal law. That's the only law that's done away with. The thou shalt not is still on the table. Still on the table. Verse 25.
25. 1 Peter 2, 25. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and elder of your souls.
See, now you're returned. See, now your eyes are open now. Now you got to return back to anointed leadership now. Now you clear that you got to understand how he operates. And the way he operates, he makes it plain how he operates. Now you're in return. You understand how you, when you fill the Holy Ghost, that you got skills and understanding according to Daniel 9:22. Understanding what? What he's saying and what he's not saying. You understand that. But he pulled this verse. He said, well, his stripes we are made healed. By his stripes. Now what did Peter pull that from? Back up from Micaiah and Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. See, when you're teaching, you pull verses. You precept verses. Because it's plain, Brother Titus, in 119, verse 4 and 104. It's plain that why you got to pull verses. You might not see that person ever again. But make sure you are giving them what they need to work with. And every time you come, you give them all that you got, but according to what the ability of the Almighty will give you. And 119, verse 4 and 104, can you help me out? Help those see out. What it say?
I'm going to Book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 4 and 104. Psalms 119, verse 4 reads, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently.
It is a commandment to keep the precepts. It is a commandment to keep the precepts. This is an order from him. So if anybody stand before you, open the Bible up, the commandment is to do the precept. Why so? 104.
Psalms 119, verse 104. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way.
See, when you precept your Bible, the Almighty will give you understanding. You can't sit around and let somebody try to explain to you what's going on. No. you make me understand through the precepts. That's how I understand. I understand through the precepts. So when you precept in your Bible, that's when the Almighty kick in and give you the understanding. So that's a game changer. When you say, well, Mr. Preacher, I don't understand that. Then he start putting a spin on it. He don't start telling you what he think, what he feel. He said, no, that ain't the way you're supposed to do it, Mr. Preacher. You're supposed to precept the Bible. If I want to understand it, I got to hear precept. Help me out there, brother. Let's go and find out. See, all these verses was pulled. Now go to Isaiah 28, verse 13 and 14. See, remember, everything is pulled. So when a person don't understand something, you know how you get to understand it, by checking out the precept. If the preacher's down before you can't precept, then you know clearly I'm in the wrong ministry. He won't tell you about, well, I remember the good old days. No, no, anybody know good old days. It's about now open our eyes up to help ourselves and loved ones that come before us. Precept in this book. Go ahead.
Going to the book Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 13 and 14. Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 13. But the word of Yahuwah was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, hear a little and dare a little, that they might go and fall back, being broken and snared and taken.
So you say anybody standing before you got to go here a little bit and there a little bit. Precept must be upon precept. You don't try to get all out of this. You go over there and tie it in. Precept must be upon precept. You got to go here a little bit and you got to go there a little bit. That's how you give those standing before you the understanding. You don't have me to remember the good old days. We was taught wrong. Now it's time to be taught right. It's not the ideal that my parents, your parents, are able to send you to cemeteries called cemeteries. Not seminaries. Cemeteries. Because when you come up out of it with a degree from the world, you will be locked in stupidity. You will be quoting a manuscript with no book open. They have a sermon on the way. That's what you're going to be in. Well, this book go with that book. No, don't no book go with the Bible. The Bible stands alone according to, give me a precept there, young lion, Kaya, 34, verse 17, 16 and 17 of Isaiah. See, don't no book compare to the Bible. You don't have no manuscript that compare to the Bible. And Isaiah talks about that in 34, verse 16 and 17. So believe what the seer is saying. Let's see what he says.
Going up to the book of Isaiah, chapter 34. We're going to read verse 16 and verse 17. Verse 16 reads, seek you out of the book of Yahuwah and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her meat. For my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them. Verse 17. And he has cast a lot for them, and his hand has divided it unto them by lot. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein.
You see? If you understand that it's no book compared to the Bible, you can't show me no what no man's manuscript have said. Nothing compared to the writing of the Bible. You got nothing to contradict. Then when you understand that spirit, then when you read Revelation 1, verse 3, Brother Micaiah, then you understand what you're upon. When you recognize, don't nothing supersede the Bible. The Bible tells us exactly what to do and how to do it. The Bible tells us that. Look what John was told, the Revelator, in 1 verse 3 behind that.
The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse number 3 reads, blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein.
Now you're upon a blessing. Now you're upon a blessing. Now you say, I heard you, my brother, my sister, my mama, my kinfolk. I heard you. But I won't be upon a blessing. And I won't be upon a blessing. You got to give me some out of that Bible. Out of that King James 1611 with the 80 books. Give me some out of that and give me a precept. What you asking me to do? That's impossible for me. But you got all them degrees on the wall. And you mean you can't even precept your Bible? No, I never was taught that. I know. See? Now, well, it's time for me to teach you now. See that? Because you didn't do the degrees. You start putting them in the briefcase and pushing up under the bed. When you come around, they won't brag on their degrees when you come around. We don't see the best of them take their degrees and hide them up under the bed somewhere because they know it can't stand. When you understand what he's saying, it can't stand. Case in point. Now, to see you talking, Brother Titus.
Yes, sir.
In the 16th chapter, verse number 76, he's talking real good. Pick up at verse 74, pick up verse 73, make it sound good. We're going to 2nd Ezra 16, and we'll look at verse 73 down to verse 76. Now, watch. The seer is talking, but what we won't know is where he pulled it from. Huh? We'll find out. We're going to 2nd Ezra chapter 16, and we'll pick at verse number, what I say?
73 to 76.
What it say?
2nd Ezra the seer chapter 16, verse 73 to 76. 2nd Ezra chapter 16, verse 73 reads, then should there be known who are my chosen, and they should be tried as gold in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 74, hear, O ye my beloved, said Yahweh, behold, the days of trouble are at hand, for I will deliver you from the same. Verse 75, be you not afraid, neither doubt. For Yahweh is your God, your guide. Verse 76, and the guide of them who keep my Torah instruction and precept, said Yahweh, let not your sins weigh you down. Let not your iniquity lift up themselves.
So he said, I'm going to guide you, but I got one stipulation in guiding you. You got to keep the commandments and precepts for the national audience. He said, I got you. But make sure before you call on me, you keeping the commandments and precepts. You going here a little bit and there a little bit. Make sure you doing that before you call on me now. And I got you. So you got to make sure you keeping the precepts of your mighty one. Then he said, I will step in and guide you. Once you keeping the commandments and precepts, then I'll guide you. Read that verse again, 7-6.
2nd Ezra the seer, chapter 16, verse 76. But the guide of them who keep my Torah instruction of the first five books, law and precepts, said Yahweh, let not your sins weigh you down. Let not your iniquities lift up themselves.
And iniquity is sin. He said, I got you when you got me. He said, you want me to have you, then you got to have me first. Now, Brother McCray, now he pulled that verse from Nehemiah. See, he pulled that verse. See, everything is said, it's been pulled. Now, Ezra pulled that verse, and Ezra was around the time with Nehemiah. So Nehemiah was on the clock what chapter he was in? In the ninth chapter. And it was a conversation going on. We need to read a little bit. 12 out of verse 14 and verse 20. Let's see what we can read in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 12 to 14 and verse number 20. Listen to this right here. You hear what I said? Listen to this.
Going over to the book of Nehemiah. We want to read chapter 9. We're going to read verse 12 down to 14 and verse number 20. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 12 reads, moreover, You lead them in the day by a cloudy hill.
You led them.
And you led them in the day by a cloudy hill. And in the night by a pillar of fire. To give them light and to give them light in the way wherein they should go.
Mm-hmm.
13. You came down also upon Mount Yadajuna and spake with them from heaven.
You came out on Mount Sinai. Well, no, y'all got to do that that time.
And you came down also upon Mount Sinai and spake with them from heaven and gave them right judgment.
You gave them what?
Right judgment.
You gave them right judgment, huh? Go ahead.
And true law.
And what kind of law?
True law.
True law. Go ahead and read.
Good statue.
Good statue.
And commandments.
You gave them commandments.
Verse 14.
Listen, God.
And made known unto them your righteous statutes.
And you made known to the children of Israel your what?
Righteous statutes.
Ain't got nothing to do with the first day of the week or Christmas Mass. Mass got to be unfolded. Because he ain't in no Mass. He's in. Hey, Mother E. You know what he is, Mother E? In 8 verse 12 of St. John. See, the Almighty don't have no Mass. He's not in no mass. Look what he said. Hey, Mother E, Israel, what he says in 8 verse 12 of St. John. See, he's not in the mass. So those who say, well, we going to the mass. What mass? The Almighty ain't in no mass.
Hallelujah.
The Almighty in St. John 8 verse 12. What did it say that, Mother E?
The book of St. John, chapter 8, verse 12, read. St. John, chapter 8, verse 12. Then speak Yahweh the Son again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
You see that? So he not in no mass, nothing. So he not in the mass. So anybody going to a Christmas mass, no, he's the light man. He not in the mass thing. He by putting the light down it. So if you going to a Christmas mass, hey, a mass, no, that's not him. That's the other guy. You going to visit the other guy in the mass, this man say he the light. Let's precept that, Mother E. Hey, Mother E is Israel. Let's get a precept on that. And if you tell anybody that stand before you, best all about a Christmas mass, tell me, well, precept that. What is you cursing me out? What you just say? They might think you cursing them out when you tell them to precept that. But we'll tell you, well, that sounds real good, but precept that. Let's go to the 12th chapter, Mother. We go on to the 12th chapter and then get a precept on that to find out what this man is about. We're going to look at the precept by going to St. John 12. And we're going to pick it up. We're looking for a precept. How about 35 and 36? No. Hey, Mother E, how about verse 35, 36, and then skip down to verse number 46. St. John 12, 35, 36, and 46. Let's find out if he anything about some Christmas. If he's a mass. Oh, is you going to come to the Christmas? I mean, what mass? A mass? You trying to hide something from me? That's a mass. This man about this Bible, he ain't about no mass. He about some 35, 36, and 46. What did it say that, Mother E? Israel.
St. John chapter 12, verses 35, 36, and 46. St. John chapter 12, verse 35. Then Yahweh the Son said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. Verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of life. Verse 46. Verse 46 reads, I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness.
Yeah. So he's not the Chris Mass at no time. Hey, Mother E, what is he, Mother E? Since he's not the Chris Mass, according to what you just got to read in verse 46, what is our mighty one? What is he according to his book, according to verse 46?
A light unto the world.
Excellent. Now, let's see if we drop a precept on that. Now we're going to drop a precept on that. We're going to precept that in Matthew 5, and we're going to precept that. Where are we going in Matthew 5 to precept? How about verse 13 down to verse 16? Let's precept that. See, I'll tell you something. If you want to know if a person is sent by the mighty one, all you got to say to him, that sounds pretty good what you just said to me, but where's the precept to that? Now, if their eyes look like somebody put a pistol on them, then you know you got them to think forever. The best whooping you can put on anybody is a spiritual whooping. They'll never forget it. Then they're going to say to you, well, I don't want to precept that. Well, maybe you could have classes with me then. Yeah. So that's how it's going to happen. But you have to learn this word to help yourself and those that come in contact with you. If a person cannot precept the Bible, he's not sent by the mighty one. Because the Bible is a precept Bible. That's how you get understanding. Now, we're going back to Matthew chapter 5 and look at 13 through 16 and see what it connects to what we just got through reading about this life. Listen what it says.
The book of Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13 and 16, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 reads, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. Verse 14, you are the light of the world, and see that is set on a high, on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick they give a light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and honor your Father which is in heaven.
Yeah. So it is right there. So ain't none of them going to no Christian ass on anything. They gonna show light. So those that stand before you gotta show some light. You say, oh, you like a kid, like a young teenager kicking a tin can. You ain't good for nothing. You like to be, you like a tin can. Need to kick you down the street, like a tin can. He said, if you don't lost your savior, you ain't got no juice in you. What good are you? Cause you was created to be the light of the world. So that's what we try to tell the six anointed camps. You got to lead by example. This is your job to do. You got to let your light shine on whatever subject matter it is and go in the Bible and debunk it according to the Bible, not what you feel, not what you think. We're going to get on dedication in just in a second. But the point we're making, when Almighty came down for 8 days, sure he ate him up, sure he drunk him up. But he left a strong message for those to come after him to make sure you rehearse the righteous act. And that's where he came from, because he knew the end from the beginning, according to Isaiah 46, 9 through 11. And then he clear about if you in trouble, and we found out about with his stripes, we are healed, Brother Micaiah. So if that's the case, what do we need to know according to Psalms 107, verse 20. What? Tell you what. Read verse 33, verse 7, just to make it sound good. We're going to Psalm 34, verse 7, just to make it sound good. Then we'll read 107, verse 20.
Okay, Psalms chapter 34,
verse 7.
Picking up at verse number 7. We go to Psalms chapter 34, verse number 7. Verse 7 reads, The ministering spirit, angel of Yahuwah, encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them.
You see that? He said an angel, and that's the same thing we can read over there in the 14th chapter of Acts. We're not going to do it. The angel will camp around you and deliver you. When you in tight, you got in right, the angel will camp around you and deliver you. Now, 107 verse 20, listen good.
The book of Psalms, chapter 107, verse 20 reads, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction.
So what heals you?
The word.
The word heals you. Not Doc Cook. The word heals you. So what gets you back on your feet is his word. So that will get you back on his feet. He sent his word and healed them. Huh? He didn't want to make you sick. He didn't want to kill you. He didn't want to bring you back. All he got to do is send his word and do what?
And heal.
But now, let's see that his son deviate from anything his father said. Let's see that his son deviate on anything that his father just said by going to Wisdom of Solomon 16, verse 12. So, remember, when you heal, the first thing you give credit to your mighty one. Mighty one. He didn't want to put you in that position, and he didn't want to take you out of that position. That's why you make sure you don't cross him. Don't let nothing in the world cross your mighty one when it comes down to decision. What do the Bible say? Didn't make a decision according to the Bible. Matter of fact, what do the Bible tell us? In Leviticus 2 and 3, but Titus 1, 2, and 3. What do the Bible tell us? See, the Bible tells some things. See, you might have to make a decision. Okay, but what do the Bible tell you about the decision? Leviticus 2 and 3, and who talking, and who we talking to, and what did he say? He said, okay, that sounds pretty good, but can I check and see what the Bible says?
We're going to Leviticus chapter 2 and 3, verse 2 and 3.
Yeah, what it say?
The book of Leviticus of the heavenly tablets, chapter 2 and 3, verse 1 through 3. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be righteous gathering, even these are my feet. Verse 3, read, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a righteous gathering. We should do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahuwah and all your dwellings.
You better lead by example. A person can say, if you forsook the Sabbath day, I got $100 trillion for you. Oh, what day do I got the $100 trillion coming? Well, 'cause you got to come get it on the Sabbath day. What? See, I ain't careful to ask you. If I got $100 trillion coming, you don't get it to me on the Sabbath day, I'm going to be in class. I got to lead by example. I'm going to be on class when it comes down to a Sabbath day. Huh? So you got to lead by example. You don't let the world get in your way, because everything in the world, a mother eat. The only thing in the world we can read in 2 Corinthians 4:18 is what? According to 2 Corinthians 4:18, everything in this world that is given to us is stipulation. But in 2 Corinthians, mother eat Israel, what it say we can read in the book called 4:18 when it comes down to what Paul is telling Northern Kingdom and Judah that's scattered in that area? What he says in 4:18?
Okay. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Yeah. So whatever you see, whatever they don't give you, it ain't but temporarily in the way it goes. So ain't none that you're going to take with you.
Mm-hmm.
What you look at the thing that you're not seeing. And he make it plain, mother, on the thing that's not seen. What he says in 1 Corinthians 2:9 and verse 10. Now look what he said about the things that's not seen. See, Paul's still talking. Now Paul going to tell them some things in 2 verse 9 and 10. Can you help those see out, mother? Mother E. What he said that we can read in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 and 10.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, not ears heard, neither have entered into the mind of man the things which Yahweh has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But Yahweh has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. He said, what he got for you is nothing in this world can even grasp on what he got for you, for those that love him. He said, I don't care what they got to offer you. If it's breaking what I got on the table, he said, it's not worth it. Because the eyes have not seen, ears ain't not heard on what I have prepared for them that love him. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you love him? You'll find out later. Mm-hmm. But in the same token, mother, what did Paul pull that verse from? And all you got to do, ask the person, yeah, that sounds pretty good, but what did he pull that verse from? Run back to 64 verse number 4 in the book of Isaiah. Now, what did Paul pull that from? You know, your preacher tell you where that left side of the book is started away with. Then why don't you tell Paul that then? Why? Because Paul is quoting 64 verse 4 of Isaiah. So why don't you tell Paul that the left side is started away with? Huh? See, and that'll tell you today, well, you ain't got to keep nothing on the left side of the book because it's done away with now. Our Lord Jesus Christ has removed that. But why Paul quoting 64 verse 4? Well, it said that, Mother E. Israel.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, man have not heard nor received by the ear, neither had the eye seen, O Yahweh, beside thee, what he had prepared for him that waiteth for him.
You see that? So you wait on him, and that's what he came to do on the 8-day feast, is remind them. Because when he came on the 8-day feast, they was in captivity up under the Romans. So they was in captivity when he got there. They would look for somebody to tell them something because they was in bad shape. And you think you in double bad shape now? So, but Titus, in the 24th chapter of Leviticus, what he say, verse 1 and verse 8? Although you in bad shape today, in the night, but what he said that we can read in Leviticus 24, verse 1 and verse 8? What he said we can read?
Go out to the victory. Chapter 24, verse 1 and verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
Victory chapter 24, verse 1 reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 8 reads, every Sabbath he shall set it in order before Yahweh continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant.
How many Sabbaths?
Every Sabbath.
Every Sabbath you sit in order. You bring forth your life on the Sabbath day, not Christmas Mass and Sunday. You're not doing the will of the Bible. You're doing the will of man. Every Sabbath you sit that in order before the Almighty. Being taken for the 12 tribes of Israel by our ever lasting covenant. See, every Sabbath. But what about Paul? What did Paul keep? Well, let's see what he kept in the 17th chapter, verse 1 and 2. Back up with Brother Micaiah in 18, verse 4 of the book of Acts. So, well, what about Paul? Well, we are part of the Pauline teaching. Okay, well, what did Paul do? In 17, verse 1 and 2, back up with Brother Micaiah in 18, verse 4. So we're going to bow out. Well, we're on a Pauline teaching now. Okay, let's see what Pauline said then. In the 17th chapter, verse 1 and 2, and Brother Micaiah had me 18, verse 4.
The book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 1 and verse 2. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the temple of Yahdah Judah. Verse 2, and Paul and his matter was with to them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scripture.
So Paul kept the Sabbath day. So Paul reasoned with them, but why did Paul reason with them? What was he working with? Back up to 4:12 of the book of Luke. Why did Paul keep the Sabbath day? What is he doing? Is he creating something new? Where he get it from? 4 verse 12 of Luke. There. Read down to verse 15.
But now, book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. Book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 12, read. And Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, it is said, you should not tempt Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 13, and when Satan the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Verse 14, and Yahweh the Son returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and then went out a fame of him through all the regions round about. Verse 15, and he taught in their temples, being uttered of all. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And his custom was, he went into the temple on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read.
Is it? He said his custom. Paul had a manner and he had a custom. Custom and manner is interchangeable. Yahweh the Son went to worship on the Sabbath day. Paul went to worship on the Sabbath day. But you say you got the Spirit of the Almighty and you're doing it Sunday, 9 o'clock a.m. Yeah. The Bible don't line up with you. So we know you're doing traditions of men because you ain't found nobody in the Bible. Verse 31, listen. Come on, that's Bartitis, 31.
Verse 31?
Yeah, what it say?
Luke chapter 4, verse 31?
Yeah, what it say?
Luke chapter 4, verse 31. And came down to Capernaum and city of Galilee and taught them on the Sabbath day.
So he done all his teaching when?
On the Sabbath day.
But now you want to talk about a Christmas mass at 9 a.m. on Sunday. Yeah. So that's not the will of the Bible. That's the will of men. And it's going to cost you. So those that into that understanding, if you're hearing this message and you got a loved one that's keeping 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. on Sunday, it's up to you to try to pull them out of the thoughts of his word. Now, if they don't believe the word, there's nothing you can do about it. But if he's got to hear, say, hey, my brother, my sister, my mama, y'all doing it wrong. They're going to burn you in the fire because you're doing the contrary. You're teaching the doctrine of men. The Bible said we got to keep sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. Your pastor said we got to keep Sunday, first day of the week, the day of the sun, as you in. That's wrong. Although you got all the degrees you want on the wall and in your briefcase. And we help teach you to get all the degrees. But now that's wrong. You have to make adjustments. That's up to them. You got to make sure you tell them. Now, what do 18 verse 4 say?
Book of Acts, chapter 18. Picking up at verse number 4.
Listen to God.
Verse 4 reads.
What?
And he reasoned in the temple every Sabbath and persuaded
wherever he went, he showed up on the Sabbath day, and he reasoned with those of Israelite descent wherever they was at, but on the Sabbath day. He knew he had to get to somebody's temple, wherever they was at, to reason with them out of the scripture. So here come the son. Hey, Mother Eve, here come the son now. So now, and St. John chapter 10, verse 22 and 23. Now, here comes the Son. Now, we know this day right here is December 25th. Here he comes, December 25th, walking 70 miles from Galilee to Jerusalem, which is 70 miles. Check on your record. He come walking. Let's see what he was doing 70 miles away, heading to the temple of Jerusalem. 10, verse 22 and 23. What do you say, Mother E. Israel? What can we read out of St. John 10, verse 22 and 23? What can we read?
St. John, chapter 10, verse 22 and verse 23. Verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. And it was one. 23. And Yahweh the Son in the walked in the temple of Solomon's poet.
Mm-hmm. He walked in the temple and what did he find in the temple when he got there, Mother? Because the spirit is always around. What did he find? When he got to the temple, what was going on that we can read in Acts chapter 3, verse 10 and 11? What was going on when he got to the temple on December 25th and was there for 8 days? What did he find there in Acts 3, verse 10 and 11?
Okay. The book of Acts chapter 3, verses 10 and verse 11. Acts chapter 3, verse 10. And they knew that it was he which set for arms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazed at that which had happened unto him. Verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed, helped Peter and John. All the people ran together unto them in the forest that is called Solomon's Greatly Wonder.
Oh, so they knew he was a man sick by the temple, asked for arms that mean money, had his cup out there. So they told him, why don't you go on inside that temple, because you know, a lot of healing going in that temple, going on in there. Once you get in there, you there. Once you get up in there, because a lot of healing goes on in them temples. So they got up in there, and he was leaping and jumping. Next thing you know, that lame man was able to jump up in and touch the rim behind getting to the right place according to the order of the Bible. So Brother Titus and 238 of 2 Ezra down to verse 238. And take it down to verse number 238. Take it down to verse 47. And Brother Micaiah held me first, Maccabees 1, 41 through 49, waiting on me. So now they know to get to the temple, because they know some healing going on, and the Almighty Son is coming, and the healing is his word. And what he brought was his word. But this young man that fed the gates with his cup in his hand asked for alms, would mean money. He said, look here, why don't you go inside and believe the Almighty four-letter man? But just don't come in there and don't do right. Because look what he said, Sister Judas, look what he said about when you just half-step with this man, tell you to do. Back up to 5:14 of St. John, Sister Judas. You're going to look at 5:14. Now he got healed. He was jumping all around in the temple. All the big dignitary was there from the Israelites. And he got healed. But then the Almighty Son God and said something to him in St. John 5:14. Now, Sister Judas, what did he say in 5:14 that we can read?
John chapter 5, verse 14 reads, I saw the Son in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Say no more, let a rare thing come unto thee.
And that's us. Don't do what? Fear no more. So you can't cameo this thing. You got to be in the thing to win it. You can't be dipping the diving. Matter of fact, read that to Judas 6:24 and 33 of St. John. See, you can't be dipping and diving in this thing. You got to be all the way in. Hold that point. Help me out. Give me 12 verse 30 of Matthew. What do 12 verse 30 Matthew say back up with Sister Judas? And Matthew 24, verse number, but I say 6, 24, and 33. But look what it says in 12, verse 30 that we can read. Look at this.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. We're going to pick it up at verse number 30.
Yeah, what it say?
The book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 30 reads.
What it reads?
He that is not with me
uh-huh.
is against me, and he that gathereth not with me.
You say he says if you're not with the six anointed camps, you are against the six anointed camps.
Yeah, well,
he said, and you will be scattered. Well, in the man, you're gonna be all over the place. You're not gonna be stable in the man unless you headlong understanding that we call this network on feast days at 7:30 to 10:30, and we also on Pal Talk. We on Pal Talk, Blog Talk. We on Facebook, and we used to be on Twitter. I don't know why what happened. So those are not getting back on Twitter. Put this broadcast on Twitter because you want all the dang 520 you can get. See, run the broadcast on Twitter, and you'd be surprised who you might reach. I've been looking for this word. Then yes, that do for you. That give you a, then the Almighty will look at you and say, you know, you got your dang 520. You got you a Matthew 25:21. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because this word got to get out. So those that have the knowledge to help get this word out, get busy in getting this word out. Look for places to put these tapings on it and run it in your town. Just put it on. You might take it to one of your brother, your mothers and everything and turn the tape on their broadcast. And put you on that. I bet you get a servant of rise then, won't you? The bottom line is this gospel, this covenant, got to be teached all over the world. This is the message that our people need to hear. So if you got the knowledge how to help get us on Twitter or any outlet, get busy and get your blessing. Your blessing when you help get this word out. Don't worry about it being condemned. They're not going to go in the Bible and condemn it. The WCC, the World Council of Churches, they can't condemn it. The Latter-day Saints, they can't condemn it. The Roman Catholic Church with Big Timothy Dolan out of New York, they can't condemn this word. So don't worry about that. You just get it out there and let the chips lay where they may and get your blessing. So you got the knowledge to do some things, then step to the plate and get busy. Because one thing about it, the Almighty, he made it plain. Hey, Mother E, he made it plain in 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, what he says in Matthew 6, 1, 2, 3, 4. What he say? Let's see what he says in Matthew 6, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Matthew 6, 1, 2, 3,
yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, let's see what he said. Let's see what he said out of his own mouth. And 6:1-4 that we can read.
Okay, book of Matthew chapter 6.
Verse 1, 2, 3, 4. What he said that we can read, Mother?
Okay. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1-4. Verse 1. Take heed that you do not your money before men. To be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. verse 2. Therefore, when thus doest thine arms money, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the street, that they may have honor of man. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 3. But when thou doest thy arm, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Verse 4. That thine arms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself, the reward be open.
Mm-hmm. So you got God like to make a big old display. Yes, I donate this and I do this, I do that. Yahweh, I know he won't put the spirit on you. That should never come out your mouth, what you doing for the ministry or nothing else. You just do what you got to do because Yahweh seeing you openly because he won't put the spirit on you to do so. So all you supposed to do is Yahweh's business and Yahweh will reward you openly. You ain't got to say nothing. So Yahweh be wanting to put the spirit on you to step up to the plate and do your part and just say it's Yahweh. Huh? And he said he will reward you openly because he the one put the blessing on you to do so. He the one give you the knowledge to do so. So if you got your knowledge, let your knowledge shine. But you don't need no pat on the back. Just keep it moving and just say it's Yahweh. Because he see what you're doing, just do it. You try to get to the kingdom. Because everything you got back here will be left back here when kingdom time. We made it plain, Brother Titus, in 12:19-21, Luke. See, he made it plain. See, that's how the scriptures come to you. You know, the Spirit says, yeah, see, you own something, but I'll tell you what, hold it up for a minute and give me 12:19-21. Now, what it says, whatever it says in Luke 12:19-21, I don't know, but we're going to find out. What it say there, young Titus?
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 19-21. Luke chapter 12, verse 19 reads, and I will say to my soul, soul, you had much good laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 20, but Yahweh said to him, you fool, this night your soul should be required of you. Then who should those things be which you ask for by it? Verse 21, so is he that laid up treasure for himself is not rich towards Yahweh.
So is he that laid treasure for himself. Yeah, well, I made a killing. I'm just going to rat back in it. Yeah, okay, good. I'm going to rat back in it. He said, but God, fool, I'm going to kill you tonight. Then where all that stuff going to? You got to be rich in your mighty one. And how you be rich in your mighty one is understanding his word. Now, let's precept that to all, Brother Micaiah. Precept that around by 1 Kings 17:10. We're going to precept and show you what we're talking about. See, you got to examine yourself. Are you rich in your mighty one? Or are you just rich because the world has blessed you with all type of knowledge? But if you're not rich in Yahweh, all of you got to leave all that. And Yahweh going to ask you something. You mean you was in a position to do something? I remember a brother back in the day. And a lot of them can recall. Well, you know, I'm going to get on this, and I'm going to ride around, and anything y'all need in ministry, let me know. All of a sudden, he got to making that long money and forgot all about what he's supposed to do. Then Yahweh create a wall for him. He created a wall for him. He ran right into that wall. You know why? Because he made a vow out of the mouth to do what Yahweh is the blessing business. He'll put you in a position to do more than others. If you chose not to do it and look to your left and to your right, you lose. Like he blessed some with his word. I don't look at now time on these 3-hour broadcasts. It's what I did. I'm looking for to do better than next time I come on this game. I don't care what I did. I remember one of the class members of one of the camps said, why don't you put a tape on? For what? Yahweh, I'll give you something to say every day. And I'm going to say something every day. As long as you give me breath in my body, because I know what this is all about. It's bring you back to the right understanding of this word so I can get my blessing. I want mine. Do you want yours? What we read?
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse number 10.
What did it say?
Verse 10, read.
What?
So he arose and went to the Ephratah. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering a stick.
Mm-hmm.
And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray you, a little water and a bath, that I may drink. Verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray you, a morsel of bread in your hand. Verse 12. And she said, as the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah lives, I have no cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a quart. And behold, I am gathering two sticks. That I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. 13. And Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as you have said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for you and for your son.
You hear the man just say, yes. She said, I'm on a fixed income. I just got this enough for me and just barely to make it. He said, yeah, I understand all that. But make sure you take mine off the top. What order?
First.
Well, you know, I don't dress this. I ain't got just enough. I'm just barely making it. He said, yeah, I understand all that. But you need mine. What order?
First.
So the first thing you're supposed to do is come off the top and just as Yahuwah's business. First. That's what he said you're supposed to do. Is we reading that?
That's what we read.
And what happened in the next verse?
14. For thus says Yahuwah, the barrel of meal shall not wait, neither shall the quart of oil fail, until the day that Yahuwah shall rain upon the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and said, and he in her house did eat many days.
Uh-huh.
Verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the quart of oil fail, according to the word of Yahuwah, which he spake by Elijah the seer.
Who spoke by Elijah?
Yahuwah.
Read the last verse. Last verse.
Which he spake by Elijah.
Mm-hmm. The last verse now.
Verse 17.
The last verse. All the way down to the last verse.
Our last verse, okay. 24. And the woman said to Elijah the
seer. What did she say to Elijah the seer?
Now by this I know that you are a man of Yahuwah, and that the word of Yahuwah in your mouth is true.
See, you know, sooner or later, you're going to recognize the signs of the time yourself. But the bottom line is, When we tell you what this man's telling, it's up to you to make a difference. Huh? Times you make a difference, according to what we read. Let's get one more on that, Brother Titus. Let's run to the ninth chapter. We'll get one more on that and do the running. Because see, everything come out of every chapter. See, we got to be clear. See, when you bless the talents in Yahuwah, you supposed to make sure you put that talent in the Yahuwah's business. Man, school, banquet hall. Hope you had that on your mind. Can't sleep right until you see signs of land, school, banquet hall. Because your people need help. Your people are the 12 tribes of Israel. We need help. And this ministry is going to put things back in order when you get in order. That's how he operates. So now we go on and get us one more on that understanding now, Brother Titus. And we're going to look at the 8th chapter. And we're going to pick up and tell you in verse 11 down to verse 13. Then we'll skip down to verse 17, 18. Now listen real good what he's saying. Because see, a lot of times people, you know, they say, well, I've been in school, I did all this. Yeah, but Yahuwah is the one allow you to do all these things. But then he's going to tell you something to never forget. What he say we can read in 8? Verse what?
Well, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse verse 11 through 13, 17 to 18.
Listen good.
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 reads, beware that you forget not Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, and not keeping his Torah instruction of the first five books of his law, and his judgment, and his statutes, which I command you this day.
Now you ain't read.
Verse 12.
12 and 13.
Verse 12. That's when you have eaten that are full and has built goodly houses and dwelt therein. Verse 13. And when your herbs and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied.
Yeah, you got everything. You skin and grin. I got everything. I got turtle wax out there on my car. Go ahead.
Verse 17. And you stay in your mind.
You stay in your mind.
My power.
My power.
And the might of my hand.
My hands did this.
Have guided me this well.
My hands have got me this well.
Verse 18.
What?
For you shall remember.
Uh-oh, won't you do what?
Remember.
Go ahead and read.
Yahuwah, yo Yahuwah. For it is he that gives you power to get wealth.
What for?
That he may establish his covenant.
So he said, yeah, he won't give you power to do so, but to do what?
To establish his covenant.
So that's what he's trying to tell you. Now, Bob Micaiah, you're making a plan in 27 chapters. This is your grandfather. Your grandfather was on the clock in the book of Genesis. Your grandfather. You know the one that's named with Jacob, the name of chains of Israel. This is your grandfather. He was on the clock, and let's see what he said in the 28th chapter, verse 29 to verse 22. Let's see what he said. Your grandfather, this is your grandfather, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name is changed of Israel. Let's see what he said in the 28th chapter, verse 20 to 22. What did he say?
The book of Genesis, chapter 28, verse 20 down to 22, verse 20 reads. And Jacob bowed a vow, saying, if Yahuwah will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, verse 21, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Yahuwah be my Yahuwah. 22. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be Yahuwah's house. And of all that you give, that you shall give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you.
See the man's head? Mm-hmm. Is everything I get my hand on the first thing I'm going to do? Remember, your eyes and seals said, bring me mine first. Mm-hmm. He said, whatever you got, make sure a tenth come right out of the way into the ministry of Yahuwah's business. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing for come across your mind. Boom. Now let me get going. Now you're in the will of Yahuwah. And that's the key. And then she said, he said, did nothing fail, everything doubled up, and everybody was happy. And so that is the understanding of what you got to do if you want the blessing of Yahuwah. You do it the way he tell you to do it, not the way your mind tell you to do it. Do the way the man tell you to do it. Now what we're going to do, we're going to pause now and bring our elder back in, just close the statements, and bring Mother Z in, then we're going to kind of take a look at a couple of verses. And turn over to the young lion. And remember one thing, we live on Pair Talk. So after this broadcast is over, Pair Talk will still be going on. So if you know how to get in Pair Talk, the elder will tell you again how to get in Pair Talk. After this message is over, Pair Talk will be running as long as the young lion's ready to throw down. So we're going to bring our elder back in and get his closing statements. And what have you got to tell this national audience over 700,000 strong? We bring our elder in, we'll bring Mother G in too. And then we'll get back to the scriptures we got on the table. Elder Mr. Tibbs, you're back on the clock for your final statements and thus says Yahuwah, take three. You're on the clock, come on. What you saying, WCC? Quote at the bottom, cheese on mute. Mother E, one of the mothers out of Camp One, tribe of Yadda Judah. Mother E, you want to address this national audience on tape number three? We're going to bring in, can you address the national audience on dedication number 3. What did the Almighty put on you, Mother Z? What did the Almighty put on you? You on the clock, come on.
Mother Z.
Does he say Mother Z?
No, Mother Z. Mother Z, what did the Almighty put on you, Mother Z, to kill this national audience over 700,000 strong? What did Almighty want you to tell them? You on the clock, Mother Z, Israel. Come on.
I'm going to read in Psalms chapter 91, starting at verse 1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. Verse 2. I will say for the Yahweh, he is my refuge and my fortress, my Yahweh, in whom will I trust. Verse 3. Surely he shall deliver you from the snares of the fowl and from the noisy pestilence. Verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust in his truth, shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terrors by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day. Verse 6. Neither for the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor of the destruction that waits at noonday. Verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. Verse 8. Only with thine eyes shall you behold and see the rewards of the wicked. Verse 9. Because you have made the Yahweh, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thou habitation. Verse 10. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near, nor thy dwelling. Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all thy way. Verse 12. Thus shall bear you up in thy hand, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and a deer, the young lion, and the dragon shall thus trample under their feet. Verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him and will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Verse 16. With a long life, with Satisfy him and show him my salvation. And that's the end of verse, that's the end of Psalm chapter 91. And then we say, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
All right, now, Mother Z, Israel, one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Said, bottom line, the man going to give his angels charge over you to keep you in the way. He going to hide you. But you got to have something going for yourself to make him hide you. Hey, Mother Eve, you got to have something to make him want to hide you in the shadow of his hand. And let's precept that to 29:29 of Deuteronomy, Mother E. Israel. Let's see what the precept of that is. He said he will have you in the shadow of his hand. But when David quoted that, he's going to keep you away from anything but something you got to have to be hidden in the secret place. Either something you got to have to be here in the secret place, and we're going to precept that to 29:29 Deuteronomy, Mother E, Israel. What that saying, Deuteronomy 29:29?
Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong unto Yahweh, our Yahweh, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all those words of this law.
Yeah. So he'll hide you, Mother, in the secret place, but you got to be a person that doing what, Mother? According to verse 29:29.
Okay. Okay.
What you got to be doing, Mother? According to Deuteronomy 29:29, what is the last word you got to be doing to be hidden at the time of trouble? To be, otherwise, to keep you in a secret place and hide you from all the destruction, you got to be a doer of what, according to the last word in Deuteronomy 29:29? Keeping the law. So you got to examine yourself. If you want to be hid on the day of destruction, you got to be keeping the law. Now, precept that, Mother, to Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and 53. So if you want to be here, examine yourself. If he came tomorrow, are you keeping the law? Are you keeping them first five books? Then you will not be here. You will be wide open, be running around in your house trying to figure out what to do and what that computer or that TV got to say. Nope. If you keeping the law, you will be in a secret place because he's going to tell you how to move according to his word. Remember, he read in 107, verse 20, he sent that word and healed you. The word is going to tell you exactly what to do at the time of destruction. And remember, that was the eight-day feast was all about, dedication. He broke everything down. And what? We going to break everything down. What he gave us, we're going to give to you. It's up to you. Step to the plate. What you reading that, Mother? Acts 7, 51 and 53 of Acts. Come on.
Book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 51 and 53. Verse 51. Be stiff-necked and uncircumcised in mind and ears. You do always resist the righteous spirit. As your father did, so do you. 53. Who have received the law by the disposition of the ministering spirit and have not kept it.
He said, you don't receive the law, but you won't keep it. You're paying no never mind. You still going to do Christmas and sun worshiping and calling by the wrong name. You ain't going to keep the law. And then he's going to tell you, you're a stiff neck when you do so. You're supposed to make adjustments according to the Bible. Hey, mother, give me a closing statement after you read Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 down to verse 27, And Sister Judith had me to precept on that in 2 Ezra 7, chapter 9, verse 7 through 13, Sister Judith. Let's see the same mother in a closing statement in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 down to verse 27. What it say that we can read?
Okay, Matthew chapter 16, 24.
Yes, ma'am. See here, verse 24 down to verse 27 in a closing statement.
Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to 27. Verse 24 reads, then said Yahweh's son unto his disciples to follow, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 26, for what is a man's profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the honor of his Father with his ministering spirit, and then he shall reward every man according to his work.
Wait a minute, Mother. All my life I've been told that you ain't got to do no work because you've done it all for us. But we find out now he's going to reward you according to your what?
Work.
So if you ain't got no work, you ain't got no paycheck. I tell you what, go to your job and don't go and put the 40 hours in, but get in the paycheck line and see what your boss going to tell you about being in the paycheck line if you ain't done no work. Huh? Don't do no work and see how far you get by not doing no work. So when you let people take your life, say, well, you ain't got to do nothing because he done that all for us. But he said, I'm going to judge you according to your work. Now, who you going to believe? He said when he come, that's what I'm going to judge you on is your works. But you said we ain't got to do no works. That's the recipe for the lake of fire from Satan the devil. You got to do works all the way to the end and hope for the best. That's why you got to give it all you got, chance you got to do it with the Almighty. Hey, Mother E, on the third day of dedication, what's your closing statement behind that, Mother? Mother E, Israel. One of the
mothers
out of Camp 1. Come on.
Thank and praise Yahweh for the class. Thank and praise Yahweh for the ones that's attending the class. And I'll say to the class, hold on. Don't give up. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh.
That's Mother E. One of the mothers out of Camp 1. Hey, tell you, hold on. Don't give up. Make your decision according to what the Bible's saying. Huh? Just make a decision. But how do I make a decision? What do the Bible say? Because Sister Judas had a verse that I never got read yet in Matthew 6:24-33. Then we'll get that that 2 Ezra 9:7-13 and close the statement on Sister Judas. Because I don't remember hearing 6:24 or Matthew 33. We'll make that Matthew. Let's make that Matthew. When we read verse 15:15, he might say anything, but make sure that book supporting it. He might get all over the place every now and then. Make sure it's like the mother do. Hey, see, that ain't in there. Where you getting that verse from? All right, Matthew chapter 6, 24 and 33. What it say?
Either he will hate
the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve Yahweh and
mammon.
You cannot do it. You can't serve the world and serve your mighty one. The world gonna have you doing Chris last. Yahweh the Son gonna say he keep these feast days and Friday night, Saturday night. When you doing the world, you can't serve Yahweh. I don't care how long you on your knees. He's going to tell you in Matthew chapter 7, 21, 22, we ain't read. He said, you can call me Yahweh all you want it, get my name right. But if you ain't doing my will, you ain't got nothing coming.
Mm-hmm.
Read verse 33.
Verse 33.
What?
But seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added
unto you. The first thing you do, you seek the kingdom of the Almighty. And all them things that you want will be added to you. Everything you desire to have after you get your mighty one, right, you say, yeah, I'll give it to you. Whatever you desire. But first, get him right. Then, make sure you got your mighty one right. Now, Ezra, that verse, the Psalm pulled that from Ezra. 2 Ezra, chapter 9, 7 through 13. Judas, give me a closing statement. Second Ezra chapter 9, verse 7 to 13, Sister Judith, and a closing statement after you read it.
Second Ezra chapter 9, verses 7 to 13.
Yeah, what that say?
Verse 7 reads, and everyone that shall be saved and shall be able to escape by his word.
Wait a minute. You will be saved by what kind of way?
To escape by his word.
So you ain't got no works, you ain't going to get saved. So he tell you, there it is. So if you ain't got no works in Yahweh, you're not going to be saved. It's the only way you're going to escape this thing, you got to have some works in. So now look in the mirror. Do you have any works in? Huh? The only way you won't be saved, you ain't got to have some works in. That's what Ezra Seer said. So you're not getting a paycheck unless you got a work in. You're not getting eternal life unless you got the work in. Come on, read some out.
And by faith, whereby ye have believed.
Uh-huh.
Verse 8. Shall be preserved from the said
pearls,
and shall see my salvation in my land.
Uh-huh.
And within my borders.
Uh-huh.
For I have sanctified them for me from the beginning. Verse 9. Then shall they be in pitiful
case,
which now have abused my
way. Wait a minute. The one got the long pockets and ignore everything, going to be in what kind of shape when he come at them? Pitiful shape. They'll be in a pocket full of money, turtle wax on the car and everything. But they're going to be in, but according to Yahweh, they're going to be in what kind of shape?
Pitiful
shape. If you ain't keeping the Torah instruction, the first five books, when that man come, you're going to be in pitiful shape. Go ahead and read.
And they that have cast them away despitefully shall dwell in torment.
And they that cast them away, the one that can ignore when you tell them, hey, no, brother, no, sister, we doing the wrong day. We don't do no Christmas. Christmas ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. That was dedication for 8 days to celebrate and give some knowledge of whooping somebody named Esau, his five sons, and give you knowledge to be prepared for the second whooping that's coming on Esau and his five sons, ain't going to get you too, if you ain't right. Go ahead.
Verse 10, for such as in their life have received benefits and have not known me.
Uh-huh.
Verse 11, and they that have my two instructions while they had yet liberty, and when as yet place of repentance was open unto them, understood not, but despised it. Verse 12, the same must know that after death by pain.
After death what?
By pain.
You mean it ain't all over yet?
Yeah, boy.
You mean it ain't all over yet after death? After, that's when your pain gonna start. Go ahead and read.
Verse 13, and therefore be thou not curious how the ungodly shall be punished. And when but inquire how the righteous shall be saved.
Mm-hmm. So you worry about the one that's going to do right. Don't worry about the one that ain't going to do right, going to scour the fence. You show them that the Bible saying they won't do right, go on about your business. Because he said, I got it. Your job is to tell them where they're wrong at. Now, if they don't correct the wrong, that's on them. They have all degrees on the wall and all the certificates from the other nations. He's going to burn you in the fire and those who tied in with you. That's up to you. Now, I'm going to read a couple of verses. I'm going to turn it over to the young lions. Remember, if you want to go to Pal Talk, you can continue to listen if we shut off early here. So, now, who had that first Maccabees chapter 1, 41 through 49? Who had that?
Brother Titus.
And Brother Micaiah. Brother Micaiah. Somebody hit him on his leg and get him out of that deep sleep. He said, I'm meditating over here. That's all I'm doing. I'm meditating. That's what he's saying. And Second Maccabees 6, 1 through 9, had that waiting on me, and I'm going to drop the way and turn over to the young lions. First Maccabees chapter 1, 41 through 49, by Brother Titus. And then we're going to, again, Brother Micaiah going to have me Second Maccabees 6, 1 through 9. And I'm going to get out the way with just the young lions, take it on in.
All right, First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 41 through 49. First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 41 reads, Moreover, King Antioch wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people. Verse 42, and everyone should leave his law, first five books of the Torah instruction. So all the heathen blew the words, nation of Esau and his five sons, Amalek, agreed according to the commandments of the king. Verse 43, yea, many also of the Israelites, Yada Judah, consented to his religion and sacrificed unto idols and profaned the Sabbath. Verse 44, for the king had sent letters by messengers unto Yada Judah and the cities of Yada Judah that they should follow strange laws of the land. Verse 45, and forbid burnt offerings and sacrifice and drink offerings in the temple, that they should profane the Sabbath.
Profane
the Sabbath and feast days.
And that's what we're doing right now. And we're profaning the Sabbath day and feast days right now. Now you know where it's coming from. That's the origin of you not doing the Sabbath day and the feast day. That's where it comes from, right there. That is the foundation, right there, by a wicked man called Antioch the Epiphanes. He's the origin and the foundation of changing your way of law to his ways, and that's why you're doing Sunday, Lord God and Jesus. You're learning right now where it comes from, Brad.
Verse 46 reads, and pollute the temple and righteous people.
And that's what you're doing, and you pollute the temple and the righteous people, and you're doing it right now. Go ahead.
Verse 47, set up altars and groves and chapels.
And chapels mean churches on every block. There's a church, five churches. You got churches and liquor stores everywhere. But they're everywhere it comes from. He didn't want to set up six churches everywhere and liquor stores. Churches and liquor stores. Go ahead.
Of idols.
Of what kind of way?
Of idols.
Go ahead.
And sacrifice wine.
And eat right. Pig. And eat pig. Eat ham with pineapple on top of it. Mm-hmm. Eat pig with pineapple on top of it. Bless the hog. See, that's what we're doing now. We're eating all the hog and get our hand on right now. We a hog eater. Go ahead.
An unclean beast.
And unclean. We love catfish, shrimp, lobster, and oyster tails. Right there. And frog legs. And that's what we love.
We love that.
We go to that place. They get all the catfish and shrimp, lobster tails and everything. Red lobster. We love that, don't we? But that's an abomination to the Almighty Ones for the children of Israel. Go ahead and read.
Verse 48. That they should also leave their children uncircumcised.
In the mind too.
Yahuwah. And make their lives abominable with all matter and uncleanness.
Yes.
And proclamation.
Uh-huh.
Verse 49.
What?
To the end.
To the end.
That they might forget the law.
Oh, so all this is about for you forgetting the law. Haven't you forgot it? Do you keep the law? Do you keep the Sabbath day? Friday night, Saturday night? No. Right. You keep the feast day? No. You wear fringes? No. Huh? But guess what? All this was orchestrated right here. And it today. And that's why that young lady says that Mr. White Man and White Woman, they so great to me. Oh, they so good to me. I'm going to be a nigger, and my kids better be a nigger, too. Yeah? See, that's what happened. And we read it earlier in the early part of the tape. Go ahead, read some out. Finish that 49 up.
And change all the ordinance.
And that's what they're going to do. We're going to change everything to Sunday and Lord God and Jesus and Allah. See? And that's what we're going to do. There we come from. There go your origin, your foundation, but you get caught up on the Antioch Epiphanes, radio, and 41 through 49. Now, Brother McKay, give me that stack of Maccabees 6, 1 through 9. Then you young lion, take it from now. Don't see it going now and eat them up and drink them up while y'all do what you got to do. You got plenty more time. Remember, we on Power Talk. Remember, all broadcasts come on at 7:30. So if you know how to get to Power Talk, you can hear the young lion when it's broadcast. Cut off. As long as they want to go and teach you some dust-ass Yahuwah, that's what they both be doing anyway. Go ahead.
Watch the book of Second Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 1 down to 9. Verse 1 reads, now long after this, the king sent an old man of Athens to compel Yahdah Judah to depart from the laws of their father.
You see that?
And not to live after the laws of Yahuwah.
You see that? So he sent a big dignitary, might send the pope, what they call the big dignitary. You ain't got to keep them laws. You can pray to statues and everything. Don't worry about what's on the left side of the book. It's done away with. So he came to tell them, don't do nothing that your forefathers have taught you. Leave all that alone. Go ahead.
Verse 2. And to pollute also the temple.
Yeah.
Yahdah Judah.
Yeah.
And to call it the temple of Jupiter.
Now call it the what?
The temple of Jupiter.
And that's our Lord Jesus Christ temple. Mm-hmm. Church of the Cross.
Olympia,
mm-hmm.
And that in Garazim of Jupiter, the defender of strangers.
Yeah.
And they did desire that dwelt in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3. The coming of this mischief was sore and grievous to the people.
Uh-huh.
Verse 4. Verse 4. For the temple was filled with riot.
Riot.
And ravenous.
Ravenous.
By the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Who dealt with harlots and had to do with women within the circuit of the righteous places, and besides that, bought in things that were not lawful.
Oh, they had all going on inside the temple site once they got in power. So that was the Almighty was coming, and you know what December 25th is? It's to regather you from all this stuff that's going on right in. Mm-hmm. They had everything going on. They had to change the day. They had the women turned upside down, everything, all in the setting. Go ahead.
Verse 5. The altar also was filled with profane things.
Yes.
With the lawful business.
You see that?
Verse 6. Neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days or ancient feasts.
Ancient feet, and that what we're doing right now? We ain't paying no mind, no never mind about his Sabbath day or his ancient feet. We ain't doing no dedication. We ain't doing nothing to Vigatory 3. We ain't paying it no never mind. We're doing Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving, and New Year. Ain't that what we're doing? But where that in the Bible at? See, you got no knowledge of it, and this is where it was taken away from you. And it was a reminder to come back and tell him again. Leave all that alone. Do what? Come on.
Was to profess himself as all to be Yahdah Judah.
And you couldn't be called by your nationality no more. You could not have been Judah Israel no more. You have to be African American, Negro in color, and super cool. That's what you had to call yourself. You could not be. Now you see why you call African American, Negro, color, and super cool. And you get ready to watch in a little while, the eyes on the prize. They're going to have a color fountain and a white fountain. Which one you think the Almighty Son, if he was walking, which one he had to go to? The color fountain or the white fountain?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Eyes on the prize. They're going to they make sure they play that to you every year about the good old days. Go ahead.
First up. And in the day of the king's birth, every month they were bought by bitter constraint to eat of the sacrifice.
And that's where birthdays come in. That's the origin of birthdays you're reading and reading now. That's when they come up now celebrating your birthday. This is where it comes from. Celebrating birthdays. He told you remember his death, not no birthdays. So here go the origin of birthdays right here. Come on.
And when the feast of Bacchus was kept, Yada Judah was compelled to go in possession to Bacchus, crying, carrying ivory.
Uh-huh.
Verse 8. Moreover, there went out a decree.
An order. So it went out an order. What was the order went out?
To the neighbor city.
To all the cities around Judah, 12 tribes of Israel, wherever it is at, it was an order that was written and delivered to them what?
Of the 17 nations.
Yeah, of the 17 nations. Which
right,
Esau is the head of it. That means, translate today, as the white man and white woman, they was the head of it called Esau and the five sons, right?
By the suggestion of Ptolemy.
Ptolemy it was the head man of Egypt.
Against Yadah Judah.
Against you.
That they should observe the same fact.
And do things the same way we do it now.
And be partakers of their sacrifice.
And be partakers. But we read about Sister Judith, you can't serve two masters. So they know when you serve two masters, you're gonna ignore what the Almighty said December 25th was all about. Because your loved ones gonna be over there eating turkey and dressing and stuffing and cranberry sauce. You will ignore what the Almighty said, but now's the time to eat some cranberry stuffing, because this is when we stuff Esau into pockets of holes.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm still waiting on me some turkey and dressing, even to this day. It'll look cranberry sauce.
Yeah,
but nobody paying the seal, don't never mind. Now it's time to enjoy whooping Esau as the turkey, stuffing him off into the grave. And let his blood run all down what we did on November when we celebrate getting a whooping. Why you always celebrate getting a whooping? You don't want to never celebrate when you gave a whooping out. This is the time you gave a whooping out. Yahweh the Son came to eat turkey, dressing, and stuffing and talk about the lick that you put on them, but you don't want to celebrate this. You want to celebrate when you got whooped. Or Independence Day when they freed themselves, but kept you in bondage. You see, the thing that turned upside down. Keep reading.
Verse 9. And whoso will not conform themselves to the manner of the Gentiles.
The Gentiles and Esau and his five sons as the leader and the other nation.
Should be put to death.
And that's what over our heads today. That death sentence has been passed on us through them. And that's the reason you keep Sunday, don't know why you keep Sunday. You don't know why you call it Lord God and Jesus. You don't know why you call yourself African American, Negro in color. Here go the rule right there. It was passed to your loved one and said, don't call yourself by your nationality, Judah, or one of 12 tribes of Israel. Call yourself Negro. And that was what the young lady said. She said, look here, the white man's so good to me. Look here, I want to be a nigger. And my kids better, and my kids be a nigga. Let's make let her play one more time. Let me hear that one more time. I need to hear that one more time, what she said. And I'm going to turn over to the young lion. So, you know, you better understand something. This is the mindset we got right here. What is that?
Thank you.
Matthew chapter 10, pick it up at verse 19 and 20.
Spirit of your Father.